Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation, Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with producer Dave and Commander Chris, although they have been MIA for a month and a half now. We're coming to you from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, and to all of our affiliates of Barbecue Nation out on the Sun Radio Networks, we say howdy. Will Homer is here today, the COO, CEO, janitor, everything else over at Painted Hills Natural Beef, and he's going to tell us what's really going on with these so-called shortages in the beef markets. And we'll get to him in a minute. A little Beach Boys music for you today. Also, we would like to thank, guess who? Painted Hills Natural Beef for making this segment possible. Beef as nature intended. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Check them out on PaintedHillsNaturalBeef.com. Howdy.
Howdy.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
What the hell is going on?
It took me
20 minutes to write that question.
All I can think of is those old jokes whenever you'd get to the bottom of your insurance form and it says, do you want to sign up for pandemic insurance? And boy, we should have checked yes on those.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
The other joke is, what is it? Always read the fine print. Look what happened to Eve with her Apple contract.
Yeah. My goodness.
So there's a big hoopla.
Yep.
And as I told you on the phone when I talked to you a day or so yesterday, something I had never seen, really. I went into a store, which shall remain nameless, Safeway, and it was in one town, because we have a Safeway where I live too, and they're different. They're all individual stores. And the one that I was in, I looked over at the meat case, it was empty. Hogs, everything, beef, nothing.
Yeah.
You know, all that. And then I go to my store in my town, same brand, Safeway, like that, and the meat case is fine.
Yeah.
Like that. So, and with all the news, if you read the headlines, you would think there isn't a head of cattle on the face of the earth. There isn't a hog to be found within 5,000 miles. What's doing?
Well, there's in our world, there's this mystery that not very many people know about. They all want to guess what's going on. But we take a live animal in the ranching business today, and the ranchers are struggling because they got cattle coming out their nose. But we take a live animal, we harvest that animal and turn it into fresh meat, and then that comes out on the street.
Right.
And it's a bottleneck in the industry. There's no fix. There's no change. That's the way it's designed itself and fixed itself to play, because it has to be extremely efficient. So that bottleneck is the packing house or the slaughter facility. And there are a lot of people working close quarters together, close knit. And as you see, as we walk around the facility here, and even in my facility, some people have gone home just for fear,
right?
Whether they're sick or not. And then so in the facility we work in, they had the fear. They had the, as well, we sent all the kids home. Well, who takes care of the kids when you send them home?
Mom and dad. A parent
has to go home, right?
Right.
And even in this situation, in these packing houses and such, there's parents, and they got to go home, take care of those kids. And so they stripped a bunch of the people out of them, and that slowed them down and made them less efficient. And our food system is hand-to-mouth. It is really hand-to-mouth all along the system. I watched a podcast the other day where it said the average pork in your pork case is 72 hours from alive. It moves that fast. So what you probably saw was a store with a higher traffic count. That one got cleaned out.
Yep.
The one you live closer to, you get farther out of town, a little lower traffic count, but Maybe today they might look the same.
Right.
So we have this bottleneck down there at that point. And what I can't get over is how slow the information is to get out to the people. We have succumbed to the pressures ourselves with the plant in Pasco that harvests our cattle. It's a wonderful relationship. It's a wonderful place to be. They're wonderful team members that are there. But they had the same struggles, and they finally got to the point where their enemy became the virus and the unknown. Mm-hmm. And they finally had to shut it down and walk everybody away, get them all tested, get some of the unknown taken away. And today, luckily, we got back on the line and we're starting our process again. And so we're going to be working under constraints. We're not going to have as much beef in the counter. We're not going away. Don't get worried.
Right.
But we're it's going to be a slow revival in this thing. Bring people back to work. Make them confident. They've got all the
safety.
Yeah, I've got the press release. They've got a medical site. They built a mobile clinic on site for people who are feeling under the weather. They've got all the plastic stuff everywhere, so everybody's segregated. They've done everything they need to do for personal safety, and that is it's about personal safety. That's why they shut them down. It's not about dollars and cents and some of the chaos that you're hearing on the street right now. So,
you guys have plenty of cattle.
So then on the other side of that, now and let's talk. So I don't know about trade secrets and all those things. So let's just talk nationally, because I pay attention to the national numbers quite a bit. And you know, right now those plants, a big plant processes 5,000 head of cattle a day. The one in Greeley was down for a week and a half, and it does that. So that's 5,000 head a day that get held up, slowed down.
Yeah,
35,000
head.
They get a rain ticket, right? They get a rain check. And so we right now in the industry, we were harvesting 600,000 head of cattle a week in the country. Right now we've just broke over 600,000 backlog, and they think by the end in 2 weeks we'll be back at least 1 million, if not 2 million head in a backlog position. So on the live animal side, now I'm going to swing over and put my cowboy hat on.
Sure.
And on the live animal side, we have this 2 week production backup. It's no different than the oil business.
Right.
Really, those cattle, there's a trade in the cattle industry. The packer, he contracts for most of his cattle, because when you run that hard and fast, you got to know they're coming, right? You got to have them all slotted and ready to know they come. Then you're allowed to buy, and you're not allowed, you can buy as many as you want, but they buy a small segment to set the price. And in today's market, for the past month or so, the packers have actually generously came out on the street and paid $1 a pound for fat cattle. Now, that's not very much in the market we've been in. That's not going to pay for the investment that the cattleman had in the calf or in the yearling or the feeder or whatever it is. And that's got them all up in arms. But in reality, with 1 million head backed up ahead of the program, they're worth the same as fuel. Which, did we make jokes about that 2 weeks ago, about it being nothing?
No.
So it's a courtesy, we call it. It's a courtesy payment. They're paying for the rancher to a dollar is saying, you know what, there's no reason for it to go under a dollar. So that's what they're doing for the rancher. But the futures market has gone in the tank. And it says, well, there's no future. We don't know what the future is. It could be anything. And it went down to numbers that were as low as it was when we started Painted Hills 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And bounced around, and it's still bouncing around there. It doesn't know where to go. And so some banks, some cowboys, they go to their bank, their value of their cattle out in the pasture today are determined by that futures board. And so it lost a ton of value. Nothing changed. No money changed hands yet, but it lost a ton of value, and it's got the cowboys have grabbed their pitchforks and joined the farmers, and they're up in arms. And I feel for them. I do. But they got to hang on. It's going to correct itself. It'll hang on.
Yeah.
So that's my cowboy hat side. Now, Do you want? Do you have time to talk about the beef side?
Well, we will in the next segment. Okay. But I was going to say, watching the futures market in cattle is like getting drunk and looking at electrons through a microscope. Yeah. They're just all over the place.
It is. It is.
Because I've been watching it.
Yeah.
You and I have had this discussion now for a couple months.
Oh, yeah.
To do it's, that.
In the cattle industry we're in today, we're... I mean, it, in just rough numbers, if we think these cattle are going to bring a dollar, that charity, let's say that charity bid lasts the rest of the year, trying to catch up with that million head, we think we'll probably lose $250 a head. And that's a huge number in cattle industry, although those numbers have gotten bigger over time.
Right.
But I only own 6,000 right now, and that's just a portion of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that you're getting a lesson, folks, in agriculture and beef economics, we're going to pick this up after the break here on Barbecue Nation. Please stay with us. Will and I will be back in a minute. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her head.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Sun Radio Networks. I'd like to thank everybody for listening today. Don't forget, you can email us at BarbecueNation. That's BBQNation at SalemPDX.com. Or you can go to my own website, which is BarbecueNationJT.com. And actually, you see a picture of Will on that site there. He's got a target on his forehead, but he's doing that. Also, we've got Facebook, and we're on 14 platforms now on social media if you want to listen to the show in a podcast version. So we've got all that great stuff coming on. We're talking with Will Homer, who's the head mahoo. Don't tell your dad that, at Painted Hills Natural Beef. And you were explaining some stuff to us about the you know, cattle markets and the bottleneck, so to speak. And most people will never have the pleasure of going into a plant and looking at how they process cattle. That's a nice way to say it.
Yes.
And you probably don't want to.
Really. Well, you probably won't at all now, because not because of the mystery of the process or any of that, but just the risk. I mean, look at the risk they have with COVID and with you know, that virus being caught, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't really want to have a card that says I'm okay to go places, but I can see now that they're not going to let me back in the plant. I've been there for 15 years going in and out and seeing everybody shaking their hands, and they're probably not going to let me in now because there's really – it's not important that I go in anymore,
right?
It's important that those people are safe and taken care of and they're doing their job. That's
it's what's important to you is what comes out of that.
Absolutely. End. That's far more important than me walking around outside against the walls going, nah, it looks kind of like a lot of work.
Well, and you told me that after, you know, your plant is in Pasco, so it's under the state of Washington guidelines.
Yes.
And they have put up the safety barriers and the shields and stuff. And,
yep.
And the one comment from one guy was, looks like you're working in a row of porta potties, but you can see through them, like that.
Yeah.
But I think that is important because when these questions come to light, and they will, you know, by other news sources and stuff, it should give the people, the consumer, a feeling that, they're doing everything they can at this point. I mean, because there's so much about COVID that we don't know.
Oh, yet.
My We're
God.
Still learning. Okay, we're still learning. We're still going through everything here. But what we know as of today, we're taking all the precautions we can as of today.
Yes.
Now, there might be more added. I'm probably sure there will be.
Yes.
Going down the road. But you've got to get the confidence of the consumer back, too.
Yeah. The consumer is going to get damaged because of the pricing.
Yeah.
So the packer's really good at the big guy, and I'm not. I'm not worth a damn at it. But they're good at managing their inventory and knowing as they run out of something, they need to charge more for it because they need to kind of keep the guys who are freeloading or whatever they are. They need to kind of refine the customer,
right?
And raise the price that goes with it. Well, right now on the packing door on the refrigerated side, let's call it the refrigerated side, refrigerated boxes coming out now to your grocery store, that pricing is on fire because there isn't any. So if you call me and you want 200 boxes of something and I say, well, yeah, but it's $8 a pound. They go, and you hiccup or cough or say, I say, okay, sorry, I don't need you because I need the next one.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
Because you don't have enough. And I don't know how they I don't know how they do that real well. I wish I did. But I know that I talked to some guys on the road down as I drove down this morning just to verify that I wasn't losing my mind. And they said, oh, no, Will, you should see what we paid for this morning. So on the supply side, they're going to try to not just let the Walmart shelf – oh, was I supposed to say that?
That's okay.
Not just let the shelf be empty, but they want to make sure that when you choose or if you walk up to get the product, you're committed or you can go choose chicken or pork because it might be more readily available. Because you can't just have – $1.99 hamburger and be out all day long. That's
right.
That sends the wrong signal. So that's what they're working at right now on the fresh side. And that's got the cowboy absolutely ballistic because the cowboy thinks he feeds the world because he creates a nice, well-wrapped leather package beef, right?
Right.
And then the beef guy, he's out there working through the beef side. So that's where there is a huge break right now. The cowboy's getting a token price of a dollar, and the box beef price is marching higher every minute, and nobody knows where the top is because we have apportioning and we have restrictions in the stores.
So once you get back up, not just Painted Hills, but when the whole beef process gets back up to 85% of production. And processing, I should say, not because you guys are the producers,
right? Okay.
But when you get up to there, can people expect to see those prices level out a little bit? I mean, put on your genie hat here, and that's the toughest thing about your business.
Yeah,
is that you know the warehouses could be full and all this, but people also kind of become anesthetized to paying $6 a pound for. Chuck or something.
I'm not going to make any fans with my statement, but this is what I see. We're gonna. There was empty space to be had, and the beef is coming up to take that up that the retailer was making, and even for you and I, we were told in October, November, we only pay 4% of our income on food. Now you ought to feel bad for that. That ought to be guilty. That ought to make you feel guilty.
Not really.
I know. So there was space. There was lots of space there to make people choose food over their data package or their Netflix subscription.
Right.
And I think that food is coming to get them now. Food's not gonna make anybody hungry. They're just gonna have to make a different decision. Maybe I don't need all seven different subscription systems at home. Maybe I need two. And I do, and I'm talking about myself because I look at my bill and I go, oh my God. But anyway, that I think that the commodity itself is going to go up and it's going to get ugly and it's not going to be available and it's going to create chaos and then it's going to come back down and rest and everyone will find a new place to rest and it will get in the retailer's pocket. And it'll be okay. They've been in a good spot. It's time to get it'll be okay. It'll be okay. We'll be okay.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that we become numb to is, and this doesn't really have anything to do with the cattle business, but so hear me out, folks. When they talk about inflation, the one thing they never include in inflation are the two things. They don't include fuel when they calculate inflation, and then they don't include food. They don't include those in the national numbers and the economic studies on inflation. They don't do it. Well, as somebody who studied economics, and if you have a doctorate in economics out there, and man, we are way over on time on this segment. But there will be money. We just don't know how much. We got to take a break. And God help us if we come back. We'll be back on Barbecue Nation in just a minute. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
We come on this loop, John B.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Barbecue Nation Radio Network, and that's the Sun Broadcast Group, BGI there. We've got Will Homer here from Painted Hills Natural Beef, and just so happens that Painted Hills Natural Beef makes this show possible. And it's beef that the way nature intended, I think that's what you say.
Yep, that's it. Okay.
I like the one where it's beef you're proud to serve your family and friends.
That one's a good one, too.
Or like Grandpa used to be.
Yeah.
Unless your grandpa lived in the city.
It's amazing. We've been at this 25 years, and it's amazing how fast the connection to Grandpa has dwindled.
Yeah.
And when we started 25 years ago, that was a big thing when you're handing out demo samples. You know, hey, this is, oh, yeah, I like my grandpa. Oh, yeah, hey, I like my grandpa. And now you're in a generation just that quick. And now Grandpa didn't. And that's why we're having so much struggle with agriculture and civilization as we know it.
Yeah. No, it's true. Well, a lot of them, grandpas aren't around
anymore.
They didn't know them.
Yeah.
You know, they just didn't know them. So it's kind of tough. So now that we've solved the economic crisis.
Oh, my gosh.
With that, you said you have plenty of beef. How much you got, if I said, as of today, how much have you got ready to go in the pipeline but can't go yet? Just give us a number for fun.
Well, we probably have about somewhere around 2,000, 2,500, something like that are backed up. So it'd be, I was thinking about this on the way down, it'd be like, you know, we're going to go get in line at Walmart and we're going to wait our turn and they're taking five at a time. Let's imagine they come out, they pull out five and they put three of them back in line. And the next one, they pull out five and they put three of them back in line. That's how we're going to operate. We're just going to be behind. We're going to be behind. We're going to be behind. And somehow we'll push them and push them and we'll flush them out of the system. But
6 months, you think?
Yeah, at least. Yeah. Because see, we already have agreements with producers and slots and everything to go through Christmas. This is typically everybody from this point out, everybody's kind of got their cattle ready and we're ready to go. Now we've got 2,500 extra that we have to kind of blend in and push theirs back and blend and push. And I really don't see the plant getting back to 100% ever, and maybe 85, 90%. And so I see us actually going all the way through summer with a decreased amount of beef, not bare shelves in your cases,
right,
but your beef's going to get expensive because they're going to use price to moderate demand. And I see us personally, Painted Hills, going to be, in our cases, we're going to be okay. The ads will be reduced. And it'll be September before we get kind of back to full speed, I think. Now, my connection with the folks at Tyson who harvest our cattle, they're optimistic. They're like, oh, yeah, well, this thing will come back around. And so, boy, I hope so.
Not according to their president last week.
Well, yeah.
He got on there and stuck his foot in it, kicked it around, and let the hornets out for a while. But then, like you and I were talking on the phone, the director of ag for the state of Washington kind of came out and said, no, that's not. He's full of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tyson's a great company, but maybe he was under pressure to come out and say something. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, the problem is it's not really a company-driven problem. The pandemic is everywhere. It doesn't matter whether you're at In-N-Out, like your bag over there, or you're at a Tyson plant or a JBS plant, or you're down the road. I don't even know. What did they build in Oregon? Intel.
Yeah.
You know, same thing, right? It could be anybody. Well, my friend at Nike's been home forever. So it's just a people thing. This thing is unrelated to the label, but our press and our news that we like to listen to got a hold of a banner on the wall to beat up, and man, they had fun. They had some success. People watched, people tuned in, and they had some success, and they turned it into a company's problem. Holy cow, what a mess. So I'm sure the president had to come out and say, hey, back off. Give them a chance.
Yeah.
And they've all kind of regroup, start over. And it's been an amazing, unbelievable thing to be in my position. And I harvest cattle every week to keep up with the flow. It's a flow. It's not a harvest them all, hope you sell them. It's a flow. But to be out of business for 2 weeks, we didn't harvest cattle for 2 weeks. I have faith in my customer. I have faith in that consumer's going to say, you know what, Painted Hills is here, and that's my choice. And and we're back. And it's not that anybody out to get them or, you know, there's no conspiracies. We're just all surviving together in this crazy pandemic world we're in.
Well, and I think that as an outsider, even though I know quite a bit about what you guys do and all that, but even as an outsider, I look at that and go, most of the people wouldn't know, for example, that Painted Hills is headquartered in a town called Fossil, Oregon, which is a little blip on the map.
Yes.
As you used to like to say, it's 5 miles from hell. It's right over there. So, you know, but you look at that and the economic repercussions in a town like Fossil, where you're the biggest employer.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've been really good. I don't think you've laid anybody off or anything like that.
No.
You know, you've kept them going and all that.
Yeah.
But had the situation been slightly different and you had to lay off 20 people, that can be devastating to a little community like Fossil.
Well, we're not that big. But anyhow,
we got 30 people there.
You know what? Actually, the biggest risk of all is crazy. I don't know. I'm going to go off track on you.
That's
I know
okay.
where you're wanting to go. But is our little town is aged. You know, I'm 50 years old, and I'm the young ones, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm still at risk. So the bigger risk is I came to see you today. I'm going back to that little town. If this thing is what they say this thing is, I'm sorry, people in Fossil, we could use a house or two for some new people, but we don't need them all.
Yeah.
And it could be really bad, and it's a risk that I come out of town and go back there, and I'm not gonna touch anybody. I'm not gonna bring it back.
No, we didn't even shake hands. We didn't shake hands today. We said hi. I kind of slapped you on the shoulder with an extension of my arm, you know, with a glove on. So good to see you again, and all that. But it's it's just us talking. But it's this caught everybody. Off guard. And in a way, if there's a silver lining to this, it's things like our food production and how we can, going forward, minimize risk as much as we know how. That we could get ahead of the game a little bit. But, you know, 2, 3, 5 years, 10 years from now, there's going to be another bug come down the road that we're not going to know what the hell it is and how to whoop on it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's just nature. I mean, and that's just not indicative to the times we live in. If you go back historically and you look at, you know, the Spanish flu about 100 years ago and wiped out millions of people around the globe and stuff. Well, we've got better medical technologies and all that now. And we have better husbandry practices, you know, not in just with beef, but with pork and all that stuff. Not so much about chickens, but, you know,
it all goes back to that, you know, we're going back to that cost, how much money you spend for your food.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the industry on the cattle side right now knows there's a backlog, and they are all excited to go out and build a whole bunch of regional plants all around the country. Little ones. We'll just fix the problem. But I have a business that warrants a plant of my own. And if it didn't hit that magic, I think you have to hit a magic point about 2,000 head a day before you can actually market all the parts of the cow or all parts of the steer. And if you're not marketing all the parts of the steer, you're not in the business. You're not price competitive.
Right.
Price competitive. So here we are back to that 4% of our income again. We got to get people convinced that they have to pay more and it has to cover more of those, because those little plants are a great idea. And I love the idea and I want one of my own, but I'd be so priced out with just trying to have the people and the facility and all the inspection and all those things. I'd be priced out of the market before I even got started. So how much, you know, we're trying to make a premium for our producers too. And there's only so much money you could scrape out of.
There's only 100 pennies in a dollar.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And you can argue about 40 of those pennies because 60 of them are already spoken for, you know, so to speak.
Don't be talking about that.
Yeah.
Don't get me there. I'm already revved up today.
That'll be in the after hour.
Oh, okay.
So we've got about a minute. You and I have never talked about anything for 1 minute in our lives. But is it? I'll say it. We can just blame the grocery stores. No,
for the pricing. There are partners. No, they got to stay alive too. And so
they employ a lot of people.
They do. I never begrudge them. They got to have the lights on, the income, the taxes for the property. They got to do a good job presenting it. And then, by the way, everything I put in a box and I send out the door, they trim down about 20% more. So it's a
tough deal.
It is.
Anyway, we are going to take another break because this time I am on time in this segment. Anyway, we'll be back.
We come on this loop, John B. My grandfather and...
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be served.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and we've got Will Homer here from Painted Hills Natural Beef. And it's been a real interesting discussion this hour, and we're going to pick it up in the after hours, too. How much sleep do you get?
I do okay. I had to, years ago, I had to fall into the trap, the sleep study, sleep machine trap. Yeah. And so I think it's a trap. I think it's a gimmick. But yet at the same time, it makes you sleep. So
him once, and Captain Morgan.
Yeah. Actually, that's against the rules, you know, yeah. When you have a sleep doctor or whatever. Everything outside these walls are against the rules, you know. Yeah. And so I actually was due for an appointment here last week. You'll get a kick out of this. I was due for an appointment, and I went back to my little sleep machine. I went, holy hell, ever since the COVID thing, I haven't been doing very well because booze sets me up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took a couple of days off so I'd rest again before I had to go to my meeting, but then they canceled it. You know, like everything. We'll do it online, and I'm like, I'm only doing this to check the box. I'm doing fine. Leave me alone. So.
Yeah, no, I get that. You know, one of the things that a lot of the people that work in these plants, in the packing houses and stuff, you know, it's a large Hispanic population
yes.
that works there.
Absolutely.
And when they got the news... that stuff, because I where I live, there's a huge Hispanic
yeah.
population and
yeah.
great people. But when they got the news, a lot of them were afraid to come into work because they don't have insurance and different things like that. Some of them that worked for the bigger houses
yeah.
probably do have the benefits. But they also live in large families.
Right.
You know, and you don't want to.
Yeah.
expose them and stuff. So
yeah.
it was just kind of a natural progression that a lot of these people walked away from.
Yeah.
And then some of them got tested and they, you know, rammed that straw halfway through their cranium and said, oh, you're sick.
And those packers, you understand, the packers still paying them.
Yeah.
They're still on the payroll because that's a highly skilled job. That's a highly technical job. Just like you mentioned, every time you take a knife and you whack away on a piece of fat or a piece of something that doesn't belong in the carcass or something like that, it makes the remaining meat more expensive.
Right.
Every time.
Yep.
And so every person who has a skill, whether they're at work or not, they're paying them. You know, we want you back. We want you here. We want you to feel good about being here. We want you to be here because you are an important part of what we do. And that's the truth. But they do. They're hot family. Just like myself. You know, Gabrielle's parents are right there in town. They're in their 80s.
Your folks.
My folks are in their 70s, and they're right there. And so when we looked around, well, the very first thing, what they tell us, they said, yeah, you can go have your family gatherings, but just say goodbye to Grandpa. You know, I mean,
yeah.
that's how they made their statement. Well, I guess. Okay. So funny. I hope I can go off track here. But anyhow,
yeah.
I just got a text, Jeff, that they finally made a decision for my senior in high school's graduation. They're going to have it on the football field. Everybody's going to scatter out. And when they're done, they'll have a parade up Main Street and everybody can wave as they
yeah.
go by. So,
well, there you go.
There it is. There's our six high school senior graduation in Condon.
That's only 98 people, though.
That's
so, you know, you can do the 6 foot thing. You hold your arm
that's
out
right.
like that and do that.
That's right.
Yeah, I saw a thing where they, like you said, off track a little bit, where they arrested a lady for letting her daughter, young, 8-10 years
yeah.
old, having play day with their neighbor, not somebody that they went across town to or anything
yeah,
like that.
Right.
They've been exposed to these people
right.
a lot. But this was up in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they cuffed her. That's a little crazy.
I don't understand that. We don't want to go down that law enforcement side. That's just crazy.
No, we've actually had it pretty good here in Oregon.
Yeah.
Where you and I are from. Now, yeah. Where the show airs across the country, there's some spots there that haven't been so lucky.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things by not having, we've got, you know, two kind of heavy population centers, Portland and Eugene.
Yeah.
And some ones next level down.
Even those are little towns. Yeah. Really, when you.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. They say, well, we've got 1.5 million people in the metro area or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like, God, that's 20 blocks in L.A.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Type thing. So exactly. It's really something that we should be aware of. We've got just about a minute left. The quality of Painted Hills, and one of the reasons that it is so popular is because of the efforts you guys put into it and the stringent standards. And have those changed at all?
No.
Yeah.
No. In fact, we have a relationship with a nice little kill plant, harvest facility, kill plant, whatever you call them, down the road down here in Brownsville with our friends at Kalapuya or Anderson Lamb. And they harvest our grass-fed cattle, and they have space. They're going to harvest some fed cattle too. So we're going to have a program called Painted Hills Special Offering that will be in the stores to help fill some of the space and such. It will be nothing really special. It's just going to be the same cattle. It's just a FSIS labeling issue. Yeah. We got to dance around. But anyhow, we're going to do what we can to make sure we get beef in the stores and be beef to people. Because the food service is going to reopen. And when it does, we just thought the beef was sparse. That's what's going to really be a problem.
Because they're going to be trying to fill all the holes.
Yes.
They are. Will, thanks for coming in, and thanks for sticking around for the after-hour show coming up here.
Sure.
Remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. And take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.